Blog Talk Radio.
Decided to switch up the schedule to Tuesdays and Thursdays, just make it more convenient for everybody. But we have an in studio guest today, Schoolum Chris, as we have quoted her and named her. She tagged us on that, but you know what I mean? We're gonna go with it. But we have Miss Chrisicia Connelly in the house, and I said it right. See that?
Did I?
In the house. She has a BSW. She has a BSW degree. She's also working on finishing up in the next month or so a master's in business education. So I have an in-house expert on hip-hop. So, Chris, what you got for me?
A lot.
a lot of my opinion. I'm very opinionated, so.
See, there we go.
We're going to get into it.
We're going to have some fun today. So I got me a little help. And as you guys know, it's an open platform, open perspective. We're going to openly show our share our perspectives and candidly have conversation. You're welcome to join in. That number is 718-664-9983. But we'll get right into the first topic of the day. Megan Good. As everyone knows, Megan Good is a child, I guess, formerly a childhood, child star. I don't want to say childhood. Child star from East Bayou, where I can remember first seeing Megan Good at. Mm-hmm. Then she grew into be a pretty nice-looking young lady. She's recently been married. She married Devin Franklin. Me and Chris looked it up to make sure we was on it. In 2012, they got married. He's a pastor, a producer, and also an author. Lately, I've been noticing that Megan Good's been catching a lot of slack for the way she dressed, being, I guess you could say, quote unquote, first lady or a pastor's wife. Me personally, I'm gonna put it out there. Then I'm gonna let you eat them up, Chris. However you want to school, however you want to do it. Okay. I'm gonna put it out there. I really don't have a problem with how Megan Good dressed. From what I've read in doing the research, it says that her and her husband were celibate. And the book I think he just came out with was called The Weight, which kind of elaborated on them waiting before they had any kind of sexual contact before getting married. So, I mean, if her dressing provocatively to some, it doesn't bother Devin Franklin. And that her last name now is Franklin legally. Mm-hmm. It may be Megan Good, you know, publicly as far as, you know.
With her brain.
Right. But her real name is, she's taking her husband's name. He has no problem with it. I don't have a problem with it. I don't understand why we make a big deal out of things that's not really that serious.
Yeah, I don't think she really dresses provocatively other than, like, her roles. I feel mm-hmm. like people see her as the roles that she plays mm-hmm. in movies and on TV shows because she has a pretty face. She has a nice figure, so she's always deemed the role of, like, a sidekick or, like, the prettiest girl. So they're going to put her in less clothes. And I feel like that's what people see her. But outside of those roles, when she goes to, like, public events and mm-hmm. stuff like that, I never see her dressed provocatively, and maybe she did way before Devin, but I still didn't see her like how Kim K and Amber Rose.
Right. She actually posted naked pictures.
Yeah, and like, you know, from what I know, like, or from what I've seen, like, she doesn't get all that plastic surgery and things done to show off her body. So I don't think she dresses provocatively. I don't know if people expect her because she's a pastor's wife to have like her everything covered from head to toe and like not supposed to show anything other than just a bit of her ankle, and that's it. I don't know what they're expecting, but from what I've seen since they've been married, she carries herself
appropriately. I thought so too. And when I came across the article, I was kind of like, well, this is still going on. But I think we put people in a box and we automatically put pastors and clergy, you know, when you go into the religious standpoint, it's a certain aspect that they're held to or a certain high. And if he's okay with his wife being a certain way and they took their vows, I have no problem with it. And I'm like you. I really don't see the issue. I mean, her role. And I think a lot of it comes back to, because I think, what's the movie called? The Video Girl or something. I think. Yeah, like that. I think a lot of that is the branding they put on her. But Megan Good is a brand.
Mm-hmm.
Megan Franklin is Devin Franklin's wife.
That's a whole different scenario.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I think a lot of times, you know, and I'm not saying that I don't get caught up in it too, but I always like Megan Good, and I just think sometimes we give bad publicity to things just to get publicity out of it.
That's very true.
You know what I mean? And even when you look at it, because I mean, the ex-wife of Pastor Jamal Bryant is on The Housewives of Potomac.
Oh, that's going to come out, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on. It actually came on, but I watched a couple of series of it. She is very opinionated.
Not the one with the curly hair?
I
don't think the one with the curly hair.
No. She does. Her husband actually is an older gentleman that owns something in computers.
Oh, okay.
He's very well off. And she's pretty. She's relatively. She's the youngest of the bunch. I think she's 24 or something like that. But
so it's coming off.
Right. Like he's a sugar daddy.
Yeah.
But the crazy thing was, I guess my point was saying basically like this lady is on one of these reality TV shows,
mm-hmm.
and she, well, of course she's the ex-wife now because she left him for supposedly infidelity, which is their personal issues. But
mm-hmm.
at the same time, if they were still married and was she on the show, I wonder what the backlash would be from that. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? Because it's always something. I don't understand why people think preachers don't put their pants leg on one at a time like everybody else.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yes, he stands in the pulpit on Sunday, but I go to work on Monday. Well, not really. I sit down and do this on Tuesday. Okay.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So, but everybody has something to do.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, when they go home, they become that person that they really are. And I think,
I
think Megan Good is catching like a lot of bad slack for being a preacher's wife.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like preacher kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? How people say, like, oh, the preacher kids are the worst kids. That's only because we put them to a higher standard.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like us.
Right.
But all of a sudden, because their father's a pastor, we automatically assume they should act a certain way.
Right.
It doesn't happen. You know what I mean? To be truthfully, and this is me going way out there, but I'm going. To be truthfully, some parents that fathers that are not pastors are probably more morally sound than some pastors are. And the children still be bad. So, I mean, it is what it is.
That's very true.
It is what it is. You got anything else on that, Chris? If not, we'll go into some sounds and we'll come back later. We got some hot topics for you guys. We got Adrian Broner. This is going to be interesting. We also going to break down cussing, profanity, cussing, cursing, whichever way you want to go about it. And we're going to talk about, I know you read it for this one. Cat Williams. We're going to talk about Cat Williams, sister. So if you don't have anything else on Megan Good, we'll go ahead and get them in some sounds.
No, we can get them some sounds.
We're going to get y'all some sounds. And you know how we started off is early in the morning. We're trying to get you some a little upbeat. Check this one out.
Yes, I'm tender. I wanna
Yeah.
Just like Candy.
It's that jam right there. That's that Soul Train song. That's the official Soul Train song. That and Got to Give It Up by Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
You know I had to throw Marvin Gaye into someone. You already know that. So, we were talking about Megan Good. Me and Chris was kind of chopping up on Chris, enlighten them on what you was telling me.
Oh, so recently, the R&B singer Kalani, yesterday there was a lot of rumors and news going around about how she cheated on her recently boyfriend, Kyrie Irving. For you guys that don't know, before Kyrie Irving, she was dating Party Next Door, which is another R&B singer that signed the OVO with Drake. And they broke up. And they weren't together for a while, so then she got with Kyrie Irving, and they've been together for a few months or so. And out of the blue, Party Next Door posts this picture, what you can see in the picture is his bed. He's laying in his bed, and there's TV on, and like he's holding her hand, Kalani's hand, and the caption read, "After all her shenanigans, I finally got the R&B singer back in my bed." So the internet just exploded with that. Was saying she cheated, saying this, saying that, she's dirty, she's wrong, just going off on just Kalani because they knew that she was with Kyrie Irving. Now, I'm guessing Kyrie Irving didn't know anything about it because he deleted all her pictures off his Instagram, and then Kalani deleted all her pictures off her, well, she deleted all her accounts altogether, so there's no word on what she has to say at that point because she's nowhere to be found. And then Party Next Door deletes that picture altogether. And then recently this morning, there's posts showing that she popped back up on Instagram. She posted a picture showing that she was in the hospital, and she was stating that she tried to commit suicide and that she didn't cheat on Kyrie Irving and she's not the bad person. She was just going with social media. She was just saying like, you can't believe everything that you see, and social media is the devil. These are her words: social media is the devil. Like, she didn't want to be here tomorrow. This is what she stated last night. She didn't want to be here today, so she tried to commit suicide. And then there's another picture she posted with Party Next Door by her bedside, and she said, "Thank you for saving my life." So, you know, that just goes to show like how powerful and how such a bully the internet and media can be, and just people in general, because now that social media gives you more of like a free will to talk and say whatever you want, people are very, very vicious and just lash out and just say things without knowing the whole story. That could have been an old picture Party Next Door posted and might have been jealous and just posted that, and we don't know the whole story, but my prayers are with Kalani, and because that's a very, very scary thing. And, you know, there's a reason why it just didn't fall through. Like, God definitely has a mission for Kalani, and I don't think, you know, her journey is going to keep going and she's going to get through with it. But that just goes to show, like, social media is.
I totally agree with you. And the reason we was talking about it, because we were talking like how social media is jumping on Megan Good for, you know, not being the prototypical, I guess, a prototype of what we have in a traditional stance of the preacher's wife. So, I mean, we have to be careful of what we're doing and how we're doing it. I mean, it's just because the truth of the matter, social media is powerful. Mm-hmm. It's very, very powerful. It can make and destroy you. It's the media. Now you take it out of print and put it in everyone's hand with a cell phone. So it's a lot different now. It's not like you have an editor at New York Times or the Washington Post who can only write. We can write our own stories now. Mm-hmm. It's out there. Because even if you put a post up and you delete it, once the post is out, it's out.
It's there forever.
I mean, you might can't catch the 10, and especially with celebrities, because they got so many people following them.
Yeah.
10,000 people can see a post in 1 second.
Right.
Can, yeah.
Because she deleted her Instagram again after she posted that post saying that she was in the hospital and she tried to commit suicide. But you can see that. You can go to any website now and you can find that post that she wrote just then. You find all these things because it's there forever. There's a find. find whatever you posted in that black hole called the internet.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, if nothing else you take from this conversation, you can take just being cautious.
Yeah.
You know, don't be so quick to put those, what is it, 160 characters on
140,
Twitter? 140
yeah.
characters on Twitter or whatever. However it goes, think before you post. I know sometimes I'm irrational myself too, so we all get caught up, but you just have to think it through. It's a little different now than it was years ago. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, it's a big benefit to it. I'm not condemning or condoning social media. I'm saying if you use it wisely, it's a great advantage. Mm-hmm. It really is. Off that topic, into the next one. We'll go right into my boy, Adrian Broner. I ain't going to say my boy. I don't know if he's my boy anymore. I really don't know. So, I'm going to give you a little backlash on Adrian Broner. Adrian Broner is an up-and-coming, was really, from all aspects, supposed to be the taking the reins of being the next Floyd Mayweather Jr.
Yeah.
Boxing. His style is a lot like Floyd. He also is a lot brash. Proudly brags, openly talks trash, arrogantly, like Floyd, confident, whatever you want to call it. And Floyd kind of took him under his wing. Well, since Floyd has retired, it has been a little back and forth between the two. Floyd recently, I think, came out and said something against Broner was in a Walmart and threw some change up or something out at people or something.
Uh-huh.
And Floyd was like, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. So Broner, and it's crazy because the day I see Broner put this up on WorldStar, he made a, like a 4-minute video on WorldStar coming back to Floyd's reply of him throwing the change. And he was kind of like, you know, you're supposed to be my big bro. Why you keep talking about me when, you know, you're doing interviews and when we're together, you're looking out for me. And
yeah.
If it's like that, you know, when I see you, it's on and all this. But the next day, after he put this out the floor, I see he's wanted for, what, armed robbery?
Robbery, like, robbery, yeah. That's
like, what's going on here?
Who are you robbing for?
And it was crazy because it was at a bowling alley, from what I get. From doing research on the story, he was at a bowling alley and he lost the bet. So when the dude came outside, he beat the dude up, pulled a gun on him, and took the money back that he lost in the bet. Which is crazy because I'm like, okay, you just sitting there talking about how you want people to hold their standards and do this. Then you make a bet,
right.
Lose the bet, renege on the bet, beat the man up. Now you got an armed robbery
charge.
Right,
get upset because you lost, yeah.
And last time I checked, he was, I think he was wanted at the time. I don't even know if he's been apprehended or not.
I'm not sure neither. I
haven't seen anything on it. But
yeah.
And at the end of the day, it tells you it's almost kind of like he's becoming a laughingstock. And he has so much potential because as a boxer, I remember watching him when I first seen him. I was like, dang, this dude looked just like Floyd. His style was like Floyd.
Yeah.
He acted like Floyd. I don't think he is committed as Floyd was to his career, which is one thing. I think he's young, which is,
yeah.
And that's okay. You know what I mean? It's okay to be young, but it's, you can party and you have to commit to your craft.
Yeah.
I don't think he's figured out that balance.
Yeah, I think with Floyd partied, but he invested in his
mm-hmm,
money
mm-hmm.
a lot. And I don't think Broner is like, I don't think he's really doing that much. I don't think he has anyone to like guide him into that. I think he's just he's loving the limelight too much. He's really soaking it in. And Floyd did the same, but it just when I see the two, it's like Floyd wasn't as foolish. I think Floyd was just a little bit smarter, and Broner is just like. He's just.
And then Broner went to losing. I mean,
yeah.
You can't talk trash. See, one thing Floyd always held down was that he always performed when he got in the ring.
Yeah, he showed it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And then Floyd was always arrogant, but he
mm-hmm.
became a lot more arrogant when he got the money and got the stats.
Right.
Broner came out like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can copy Floyd, but build yourself up. Like, get a resume first when you're
right.
not doing too much.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then what always kind of threw a question mark and a red flag in for me was that Floyd never openly just kind of welcomed Broner in under his wing. He always said, you know, that's like, I'm going to look out for him, but it was always a distance there, which let me know, like, Floyd knew
something.
Yeah. And it was like, wait, because, I mean, Floyd Florida, you don't get to be undefeated for 18 years by not understanding the game. You know what I'm saying? So if it was me personally, and I'm not trying to tell Brona how to do things or nothing like that, I would have asked Floyd, would you please take me? Whatever you tell me to do, I do it. Right. Man is undefeated for 18 years, has dominated boxing. He's made more money than I think any other sports athlete ever, I think.
Yeah. He's Floyd Mayweather is number one when it comes to sports on the
right.
Forbes. He's the number one highest well paid and ranking.
See, I mean, just that alone. And then you already setting yourself up to be just like this dude. But I think it's a lot of ego in between the two because
they're
so much alike. And I think that's why you see the falling out and the back and forth with him. I wish Broner the best. He has a lot of potential. I hate to see things like this happen, but I just thought it was one of those foolish moves, like kind of like you just got out of one thing, and I wouldn't even want to respond on World Star.
I think Floyd now is not. I think he's gonna cut ties.
Oh yeah,
with that.
Definitely.
Like that's just like
that was it. That was it.
That ain't gonna mess with my brand. Sorry.
That was it. And supposedly, when I was listening to the 4-minute rant he had on Floyd, he was fighting. I think he's supposed to fight Floyd's fighter soon. And I think that may be what drew, the wedge between them.
Yeah.
And he was saying, like, I'm going to beat your fighter, and that's how he ended it. I don't even know if he's going to be able to fight.
Probably.
And this fight was coming up soon. But Exactly. Which is a good topic, because tomorrow we're going to go into some topics about, like, it's 8 hip-hop artists that are incarcerated at the time that a lot of people probably have totally forgotten about. But we'll get more into that tomorrow. That's just that was kind of like a plug for tomorrow's show.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? It's like a little plug. But I don't think it makes no sense to kick Adrian Broner anymore. He's already down. We wish him the best. You know what I mean? At this point, I don't know what else you could do. You went from insulting probably this generation's greatest fighter of all time and world star, which is totally out of line. In my point of view, just at the end of the day, we all can do what we want to do. And
right.
I say that all the time. Like, this is an open show for open platform.
Yeah.
Open platform for open perspectives. If you have 1-718-664-9983, call in. And I'm just sharing mine. I just feel as if Adrian Broner could have went about things differently.
Yeah.
But I was young too once. So I get it, And sometimes we need to make these mistakes to get better.
It's kind of like an example like Tory Lanez and Drake.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, everyone knows Drake is what people probably would call as, like, the king of Toronto
mm-hmm.
in Canada,
mm-hmm.
other than Justin Bieber. But
some people don't even know Bieber's from
Canada. And, there's a lot of beef going on. Like, for Summer 16,
mm-hmm.
Drake threw shots at Tory Lanez
mm-hmm.
because Tory Lanez doesn't like the name the Six for Canada. He likes
mm-hmm.
the name, or he calls it the New Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Drake felt some type of way and he threw shots at him. Now, people ask Tory Lanez, like, so what's the beef going on with Drake? He's like, and he played it so smooth. Like, people know that Tory Lanez is not like Drake, but he said, there's beef. I don't know why he wants to come after me. Like,
right,
there's nothing that
right,
I'm doing
right,
wrong.
Right,
like,
right,
I look
right.
up to Drake and,
right,
blah, blah,
right,
blah,
right.
and like, and you just know that's not the
truth.
But
right,
he's
right.
but for the media, this is what he's telling
right.
them, and it sounds sincere, but it really isn't. And it's just like, that was a smart move, because the next play he's gonna do is probably even smarter. So, like, Adrian Broner, like,
mm-hmm.
he should have just, like, not even made a video.
Right,
or,
right. That's
know.
What I'm saying. Like, at the end of the day, I mean, regardless of what happened afterwards or preceding, he could have just let that play itself out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I totally get what you're saying. And for me, I don't get how they all can't get up. It's enough money. If Floyd by himself made that much money, it's enough money to go around.
Right, right.
Let's sit down and talk this out and figure out how we can get this money together.
Together, yeah.
And like you're saying, like, nobody really knows. Well, if you're a real, real Justin Bieber fan, you know he's from Toronto, Canada. You know he's from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if you're not, like me, because I've heard it and then I forget. I put me somewhere in California for somewhere. It just looked like a California guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I put him out there. But either way, if you just got 3 big stars from this big old place, as in, i.e. Canada, Drake, Tory Lanez, and Justin Bieber, Why can't they just monopolize that? You know what I mean? Monopolize and get all the money. Nope. Let's go at each other. Let's get mad at each other because you call it six and I call it that. All
right.
Man, come on, for real. But Drake, one thing about Drake I can say that he's a shrewd businessman when it comes to promoting his brand.
Very smart. He just took on a whiskey.
Which is that's a great thing for him because Drake can almost put his hands on anything and make it pop.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have
and that's like an unknown, like I can't even think of the name, but probably once commercials and ads start popping up, I'm gonna remember the name because of Drake.
He can make whiskey like Ciroc,
right?
Like did Ciroc, really honestly, just because Drake can you're
and 50 Cent with effing,
effing is really coming up. I didn't really pay a lot of attention to it in the beginning, but we'll come back with you guys. We'll be working next and.
I made my decision, and I left you. to tell me that I'm running away, but it's not true.
Oh, I never turned the mic on. Oh, I apologize. I really apologize for that. I was just sitting there having a great conversation, me and Chris was talking about cussing. And we was finna go into cussing and how Bob Marley, that song Running Away, was the original intro song to the Thoughts of a Brother back in the day when we first started. Pre me going to Jamaica, before I visited Jamaica. So since I visited Jamaica, it's like one of those great songs. But anyway, I apologize for that bleep. That was my bad. I was just talking. I mean, we were just going. Good thing we had our engineer, Sugar Cookie, here to let us know we wasn't on air. But let's go back into it, Chris.
Right.
We were headed into breaking down cussing. And like I was saying, cussing is culturally more, I guess culturally from the African-American black standpoint, the word cuss is used more than curse or profanity.
Yeah.
For me, curse is more of putting, let me just say roots.
Like a hex.
Yeah, putting hex
on
people.
That's what I think, too.
And I think the misunderstanding, now this is just me, and like I said, we share our perspectives openly. This is me. I think the biblical understanding of cursing someone was what was more being elaborated on when it was saying, do not curse. Because I think it was saying more, don't curse someone else, as in putting a hex on them.
Yeah.
I think cussing, as in explaining yourself and being elaborate in your words, or however we want to see it, however we want to say it, is a whole different thing. Now, that's just me. Now, profanity and cussing is the same thing. I say, you can line those two up, because profanity means, like, you know, derogatory language or, language that's not really taken in an appropriate manner.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that. My thing is, now this is me.
Okay.
Now this is where we're going to go.
Okay.
This is me. My thing is, what is wrong with explaining yourself in that manner if you're not demeaning someone or being derogatory in your statement? Like if I say, oh, bleep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't want to say, oh, shoot, because I really don't feel shoot. I feel a little. Right. I feel a little more. This is my thing. Me and Sugar Cookie, my wife Kia, talk about this all the time, and I explain it to her. If I'm cussing and I'm saying it, you know in that moment I mean when I say it.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like an exclamation point instead of a period for me.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it at you or I'm not directing at you in a derogatory manner. I'm just saying I want you to understand the emphasis in what I mean.
Right.
What's
right.
wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. I actually did that for a project recently for like the Black Lives Matter movement. Like I didn't hold anything back because I wanted everyone in my class
to understand, right?
To understand where I was coming from and what I was saying and how it feels to me. Like I feel like when I cuss, I want you to feel where I'm coming from. I want you to understand why I am saying this the way I'm saying it. I feel like it comes off like I could get all everything that I want off my chest with just saying a cuss word. I don't know why, but I need to cuss sometimes. I need to just get it out. And I feel like it just helps me get what I'm trying to say out. I feel you.
I mean, because, like, this is the thing. Now, if I said, oh, that's great. But if I say that is exaltingly interesting and profound, it's a whole different meaning to the statement I just. And as a writer, I get it because in expressing yourself, there's certain words you can use instead of using great, I can use profound, and it takes on a whole other meaning.
Right.
So instead of saying darn, if I say damn, you understand I really meant what I just said.
Right.
And it's not to be demeaning or derogatory. It just that's how I expressively feel in that.
Right. And I feel like that's why hip hop is such a big. It's a big, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but it means a lot to us culturally, everyone, because I feel like that's why white people gravitate to it so much because they say what they want to say. And, like, you know, people try to hold that back because of all the cussing and whatnot. But it catches your attention, though.
Right.
Like, you know, with other genres, it catches our attention, too, but not as much as hip-hop.
Right.
Hip-hop, you can feel what somebody's saying because of all the cuss words and stuff. Yes, sometimes you don't need to say a cuss word, but it works. Like, it shows still, so... I think there's there's nothing wrong with cussing as long as you're not, like you said, as long as you're not, like, being derogatory towards someone. But if you are trying to be derogatory to someone, they'll see where you're coming from.
Right. It serves its purpose both ways. It serves its purpose both ways. And I think it comes from a misunderstood meaning, biblically, because I really truthfully believe when people say, well, the Bible says you shouldn't curse, it's not talking about cussing or profanity. It's more talking about cursing each other, as in, I'm going to curse you to not live too long.
Right,
or
be damned to hell like that. That's cursing someone.
The truth is, we have to remember, most cuss words that we know are cuss words or profanity was written in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So they were being used to demonstrate what was going on, and then you take them. Like hell, okay, everybody said hell is not really a cuss word because it's in the Bible. But damn is too, you know what I'm saying? Because to be damned. And the other words you come up with, S-H-I-T, okay, the understanding of that for me, I believe, is people don't like that word because they don't like the connotation of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think the word is bad because I can say dookie and nobody cares. You know what I'm saying? But if I say the other word, it's like, oh, you can't say that.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because you can't say that on, like, Steve Harvey can't say S-H-I-T on. He couldn't say that. He can say damn, he can say hell, he can even say ass, which is crazy because the S-H-I-T come out the ass, so I don't understand. I get it, you know what I'm saying? But it is what it is, you know what I mean? It's like so many, like, these boxes.
But I feel like now, like, media is starting to take they're starting to take certain words bleep it out anymore. Like on the TV show on
OJ,
you
say BITCH.
OJ versus the people, you can say the N word. They were just there was one episode, OJ versus the people. They were just saying it. I'm like, the first time they said it, I was like, did they say it? And I kept watching it and waiting for them, and then they kept saying it over and over and over again. I'm like,
wow.
They didn't bleep it out at all, but you can say the N word now, you can say the B word, you can say ass, and I'm just like,
just crazy.
They're not bleeping anything out anymore. I'm just like, so what's the next word that's just gonna let it just, you know, be
and too,
you know, let freedom of speech come.
Now that you say that, I was just thinking about it because we was riding in the car the other day and we was listening to the radio. It was no cuss word ever stated in the song we were listening to. And this is how I understand what you're saying about hip-hop. And we put so much emphasis on cuss words. But they never cut. But they told my daughter or my son that was listening to them way more than I can ever tell them by saying damn my ass. You know what I'm saying? Because you really don't need cuss words to explain a lot.
You really don't. It's just, it's like there's some songs... Plies in the song?
Yep,
Becky.
Yep.
Becky,
oh my God.
That was
Becky
on the radio.
It was basically a blueprint to do something you had no business doing.
and that song, like, he was saying a lot by just with using the word Becky. If you didn't know what the word Becky meant, you
and
just enjoyed
that,
the song.
Becky became to mean something after that that it may have never meant before. It means totally different. And I mean, even Post to Be. I mean, the song Post to Be.
Post
I like that song. I really do like it. I like the beat. I like the real. I even like what they're saying, but I mean, I know it's not appropriate.
Yeah, and they'll bleep out like certain parts, and they don't and they weren't even cussing in it. But because it's inappropriate.
And I don't want to go in on your boy, but everything Chris Breezy putting out today is totally going there. I mean, every song. And sometimes it's crazy because I was listening to songs and didn't even really realize what the message was.
Yeah.
I just liked it. You know?
I mean, that's kind of true. Like, there's some songs, like, back in... I never knew that Cameo's Candy, what it really meant.
Oh, yeah. Marvin Sees. All them boys, Candy Liquor. All that. Man, they was just...
I did,
Slow Rolling. This is like one of my mama's favorite. Put my mama out there. These are like her favorite songs to this day. Anytime Candy Liquor come on, Duba says to me, you know where I first heard that? And I'm like, yeah, dog, I know. On our way to the mall in the car with my mama. I understand. He was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, that's how music has always been.
Mm-hmm.
The issue became when profanity was openly stated.
Yeah.
But I don't think profanity is the issue. Really, if you want to look at the issue, look at what the message.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's really that. But at the end of the day, I think artistically, everybody should be allowed to be able to be who they want to be. You know what I'm saying? And then whoever you want to attract, you're attract. If you don't, you don't. It's up to us as parents and as adults to make sure we put our kids in a position where they understand the difference.
Right.
I mean, that's where the responsibility comes down.
Because
I don't want nobody telling me how to write. You know what I'm saying? So why should I tell an artist how to rap? You know what I mean? Or a singer how to sing. At the end of the day, if you don't like it, like the coach of UConn said the other day, because they're just blowing teams out. They won 93-38 in the final, in the Elite Eight. So, I mean, they've been teams like this, and people are saying, like, you know, they're making it bad. Nobody want to watch girls basketball. He's like, well, don't watch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you don't like what I'm doing, don't listen.
Right,
you know
right,
what I mean? Don't
right.
read it. Don't
yep.
do what you do, I do what I do. Somebody likes it. Somebody.
Yep.
I think that's the biggest issue.
Mm-hmm.
We got carried away with that one. But it was good, though. I mean, because that's true. I think cussing get a bad light. And it's not because I'm fond of cussing, and I am. But
I like to cuss, too. I get it.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I just think it's a bad light because I don't think everybody's doing it to harm. I think it's just expressing itself, and I'm very much about expression.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the whole platform of DLR Juvenile. With that, we're going to go into Cat Williams before we even go into the next song because I don't want to lose time, and we're pushing time. We have, like, 10 minutes. So
okay.
Let's go into Cat. The crazy part about this whole Cat Williams thing, I did a thing on Cat Williams the first week I think I started the show, and it was on him and the fight he had here in Florida with the pool guy, with the dude in the pool store where he hit the guy.
I didn't hear about that.
Oh, man. So Cat got into it with the cashier at a pool store. He threw something at the guy, then he punched him.
Okay.
Then by the time the police got there, he was laying with his hands behind his back waiting on him. So I was talking about that, and then since then a lot of things have occurred. So it's kind of like Cat has issues. Cat has issues, which I truly believe do because I did something again. Cat has been the most profound and active participant of the show.
Yeah,
since I started because I did some on Hazel E, who actually was dating him that I didn't know that, and she left because when all the stuff jumped off and they raided the house, she was like, "Cat got too much going on."
Yeah.
So recently. We've seen this thing with Cat and the little 15-year-old boy and all was going on. I seen the whole video. Did you see the whole
video?
Yeah,
I seen the whole video.
Originally, I just seen the video where Cat punched the guy
right.
and it went from there. But once I seen the whole video, it kind of changed my outlook on it. From the standpoint of, and I was talking to my wife about this, and we both was saying, okay, whatever. But I go into it. The Cat was playing in the neighborhood. He just wanted to hang out, I guess, for some reason. He said he wanted to go in the hood and hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And the little boy seemed to me from watching the video, picked the fight with Cat.
Mm-hmm.
And when the little boy kept coming up on Cat, because Cat was sitting down, he had walked away and was sitting down, and the little boy was standing over him, so Cat stood up. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, anybody would stand up when somebody was over because
you
want to protect yourself because you're in a vulnerable position.
Right.
So when Cat stood up, the little boy started going off. And you didn't know at what point the little boy may strike Cat or Cat may strike the boy. So look, in Cat defense or whatever you may want to say the offense, he struck first.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what made it seem so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But if we take the situation and we look at it, if that was our child, not so much of him being outside playing amongst other kids, but if it was our child and they stood up in our face and they was like that towards us, we would feel justified in handling them in a certain manner. Maybe not punching them, but, you know, maybe snatching them up, maybe even, I don't know, maybe even slap them. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, but chastising them in some kind of way.
Yeah.
So when this child put himself in that position, do we say this child at that point became an adult because he was putting himself in an adult position? Because what Cat was going to do? Could he have walked away? Yeah, maybe. You know what I mean? There's a lot of ways to look at it, but the situation wasn't as bad as the media took that clip and made it to be.
I think with Cat, I feel like Cap, first of all, should have had at least one bodyguard with him. He is a celebrity. I don't care if you're from the hood. People from the hood are going to try you because you are now a celebrity.
And that's all they know. You've been fighting people.
Right. And they're going to try you regardless. Like, so he should have had somebody with him or had a taser, pepper, something at least.
Right.
To protect himself. But I feel that he should have walked away. I feel like he should have walked away. Now, if the boy would have came running after him again. Then I feel like, okay, Cat has all the rights to just do whatever he got to do. But I feel like Cat stood there. He stood up. And, yeah, he told the boy, like, go about the business. Leave me alone.
Cat popped that little dude so fast.
He did.
But I don't even know if the little dude, I don't know if it was so fast that the little dude didn't know what hit him or it wasn't that serious because it didn't seem like it affected him that much.
Yeah, but he showed no grass cat around that neck. But like I feel like Cat should have walked. He should have walked away. Gave the boy opportunity to come after him. Like that's the wrong way of saying it. But if the boy would have came after him again, then I feel he had all the opportunity.
Cat
stood there like I just would have walked away. Like okay, you ain't gonna move. I'm moving around.
That for me, especially as a therapist, showed me that it was something wrong going on with Cat because he hit him.
Yeah.
Because any other adult in that situation, especially with what Cat has to lose, would have walked away or tried to get someone else to interject into it.
Or he could have, like, grabbed him up.
Cat punched him as if it was a grown dude. And then he said, like, that ain't no boy, that's a man. Y'all see what he just did?
And he was like, all y'all recording and all this, and I'm just like...
But I did pick up that the people almost felt sympathy towards Cat.
It
was like, he always do that. Why you come around? And they were saying to the little boy, the 15-year-old, like, you always starting stuff. Why are you doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And it was crazy because what I noticed most, and I was telling Kiara this, that the lady had a little, maybe it was a girl or a boy, but it was a young kid, and it was crying. But she walked away from the kid to try to help Cat up. And Cat thought that, he said, well, was that your son? She was like, no. And she was consoling her child, but she felt so much sympathy towards the situation for Cat. So, which means the little boy probably is a hell raising the neighborhood.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Because somebody said, he always trying to come for the hood or something like that. That's, I heard.
But, like you say, I do understand, and that's totally why I like having the platform for open perspectives, because it's opened my eyes to seeing, like, as an adult, Cat should have handled that a little different. And on top of it, Cat is in a position, and this is something I keep pushing. When you put yourself in a position where people respect and really take what you do and see what you do bigger than anybody else, you have to be mindful of that.
Yeah.
So with Cat, I know he got a lot going on. If you want to go to the hood and just hang out, like you said, you should have took some security. If not, you should have took some sense. You know what I mean? Because I don't know how you figured that was going to come out like you thought it would.
Yeah, but something is really going on with Cat. Because now he's back in the news again saying that the police came and raided his home again. And he was laying down covered in chocolate. And like his family, it sounds strange, but it was on TMZ.
I believe it. I mean,
they said he was covered in chocolate, and his family was like, he needs to go get some help. And Cat said to the police officer, like, yeah, I'm covered in chocolate because I want all the bees to lick it off me or something like that.
But you know, he's saying, I seen where, and a lot of people didn't notice, His seven kids were taken away from him recently, and he's saying that's what it's all stirring from. But at the same time, I think the kids were taken because Cat wasn't doing the things he was supposed to, too. And I think they are wards of the state, which is, it's not even like, you know, that somebody has them in the family. Somebody there with the state, which is a really, really sad
situation.
Most
of them are adopted,
which is a sad situation. And I mean, we wish Cat the best, because I said this and I continue to say this.
Yeah.
Cat Williams has the potential to be one of the greatest stand-up comedians ever. He reminds me so much of Richard Pryor because his comedic delivery is truth. It's his life. And that's what Richard Pryor did. You know what I mean? Richard Pryor told of his... And Cat right now, if he can come back, Richard Pryor blew himself up and was able to come back. Cat can still come back and tell this story and it'll be fun.
Funny,
you know what I mean? So I think he has the potential and I wish him the best and I hope he gets the help he needs because... We really need Cat Williams. I mean, if we did, he wouldn't be this relevant in the news. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this isn't the time to be leaving Cat like
This is the time
where he needs.
And I'm trying to figure out why is nobody reaching out. I don't know how it is in the comedy scene now because I know him and Kevin Hart having issues and he went at Kevin. But if it was me, if I was Kevin Hart, this would be the prime opportunity to step up and try to reach out to him. Because even though Cat came at you, you become the bigger dude by reaching out to Cat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you got anything else, Chris? We'll be back with you guys tomorrow, though. But you got anything else, Chris?
Nope, I don't. I enjoyed myself today, though.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You know what I mean? We had fun. This is what we do, man. Hey, we hope y'all enjoyed yourselves. Y'all be easy out there. Tomorrow, like I said, we'll be back with you. We'll be talking about, I got to put this out there, the art of organized notes. Great producers out of ATL. We'll get into that a little more. Outkast. Goody Mob, all them boys. We're getting that some more tomorrow, but we're breaking that down tomorrow. We also be talking about the rappers I told you about that's incarcerated. But as always, lock your doors and open your hearts to the Lord. It's hard, but it's fair. One love, JWJ. Chris, and Dad is out.
Yeah. In circles, live my life without rehearsal. If I die today, my nigga, was it business, was it personal? Should this be my last breath? I'm blessed cause it was purposeful. Never got to search the worst of law, but please be merciful. You made me versatile, well-rounded like cursive. Know you chose me for a purpose, I put my soul in these verses. Born sinner, was never born to be perfect. Sucker for women licking their lips and holding these purses. Back when we ran the streets, who would think we grow to be murderers? Teachers treated against as if they totally worthless and violent and hopeless. I saw but never noticed that a college point is right to be all that you can be posters. Rest in peace to Tiffany. I don't know if this the real of this shit I wrote, but know the real is wicked wrote this and signed it and sealed it in an envelope. And knew one day you find it, and knew one day you come back and rewind it, sing it.
You to be whether you were there or not there.
Is a gift, but God help us make it, cause this music biz is a cliff. I got a life in my grip, she holding tight to my wrist, she screaming don't let me slip. She see the tears in my eyes, I see the fear on her lips. True when I told you, you the only reason why I don't flip and go insane. My roof in the pouring rain, you knew me before the fame. Don't lose me the more I change, no. Just grow with me, go broke, you go broke with me. I smoke, you gon' smoke with me. Woman's curse is birth, man lead her to the hearse. I go Bobby, you go with me, damn. Listen here, I tell you my biggest fears. You the only one who knows them, don't you ever go expose them. This life is harder than you probably ever know. Emotions I hardly ever show. More for you than for me. Don't you worry yourself, I gotta do this for me. They tell me life is a test, but where's the tutor for me? Pops came late, I'm already stuck in my ways. Ducking calls from my mother for days. Sometimes she hate the way she raised me, but she love what she raised. Can't wait to hand her these house keys with nothing to say.
I'm a poor sinner, but I'll die better than that. I swear, you are always where I needed you to be, whether you were there or not.